rehearsal for tomorrow, and then on the 10th, of course,
right. Showtime.
Ceremony is showtime. Mm-hmm. Yes. So look forward to that.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
So have the recipients, the laureates, arrived in Oslo?
Not yet. I will meet one of them tomorrow, and also the two others will arrive tomorrow, mm-hmm. and be received by two members of the committee. So we have our fingers crossed, because it's not given that they will be able to make the trip.
Yeah, the man from Belarus.
Yeah, of course, he is. Bialowski is imprisoned.
That's what I thought, yeah. That he was being contained. Yeah.
Yeah, but his wife, we hope, will come and receive the prize on his behalf. Wow. And the situation in Russia is, of course, very difficult. So the members of Memorial have concerns mm-hmm. about their safety. Sure. Whether they will be able to make the trip, and whether they will be able to make the trip back.
Back.
Yeah. I see.
Okay. So it's a lot of question marks for us.
Intense there. Mm.
You're causing a lot of trouble in the world.
Yeah.
Good trouble, I think.
Yeah.
John Lewis would say good trouble.
Yeah.
Right.
Good trouble.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've been in this position for about 4 years?
Somewhat longer. I started up in this position in 2015.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then before that, I was a professor of history at the University of Oslo. I still am, as an adjunct professor. And before that, I was here for almost 10 years as a research director, heading the research department. So I have been here for a long time.
Okay. And in relation to teaching history, what would you say, maybe more specifically, what is your expertise or your favorite era of history in general?
My field is contemporary international history. With contemporary, we mean 20th century. So from the late 19th century and up till now is my field.
What do you find the most challenging about your position now?
Oh, well, I think it's challenging that the world is changing, and it doesn't seem to be changing for the better, I think, in many respects. So I think that's something we all should be concerned about.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then, right now, with people that you want to award the prize to not being able to be here, in person, is that something that's fairly recent?
Well, actually, it goes all the way back to 1936, when the Nobel Peace Prize was awarded to Karl von Ossietzky, who was a German journalist and we may say human rights activist, enemy of Nazism. So he had been imprisoned, put in a concentration camp by the Hitler regime. When he received the prize, Hitler got furious. He got furious on the Norwegian government, because he believed the Nobel Committee was an instrument of the Norwegian government. And he got furious on everything associated with Nobel Prize. So he said, no German citizen shall any longer be allowed to receive a Nobel Prize in whatever category. So not only peace, but literature, physics, chemistry, medicine.
Yeah. And he had the best physicists of the time.
Some of them, yes. Mm-hmm. Some of them left Germany.
Yeah.
Went to your country.
Right.
And does it sound a little bit like the days of Trump in a way?
Yeah.
The way he was with science or any of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. So that year, the laureates could not come. And this have happened on several late rotations.
It's not new.
So not new, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You may remember in 2010, the Peace Prize was awarded to a Chinese dissident, Liu Xiaobo.
I remember, yes.
And he was also imprisoned, right. Or not allowed to come.
And that was, I believe, because of Tiananmen?
He had been part of that, and then continued to be part of a democracy, pro-democracy movement in China. And he authored a manuscript he called Charta 2000-something, which was a call for democracy, human rights in China. And for that, he was arrested. Even if he could point to a certain paragraph in the Chinese constitution saying every citizen should be free to... So,
in your opinion, and you had stated in earlier in the conversation that you felt that we're sort of on a downward slope on a historical scale where we're at. What do you feel could be... we could do in order to tip those scales in the right direction?
Good question, Kwabi.
Yes. I will say for all of you, of course, make sure that Trump never gets back in power in the United States.
Or people like him,
Because
watching the rise of fascism in the United States has been so horrifying.
It's disturbing. And of course, if something like that happens again, I think we will see a big divide between Europe and the United States, and that will be very, very worrisome. So
we had a victory yesterday with Raphael Warnock getting elected from Georgia.
That was good news.
That was good news.
Yeah. But please tell me in a few words what you have done and what you have done to receive the award.
Oh, mine is more like a lifetime achievement, and Kwabi is up and coming and young and energetic. So my award was more for the things that I've done in the past, because I'm old and tired. So I've just been involved in working for social and economic and climate justice for many, many years, because they're all related.
Mm-hmm.
So working to prevent the LNG storage refinery becoming operational in the city of Tacoma, because it's dangerous located there, and because even if it weren't dangerous there, it's an unnecessary development of more LNG when we should be putting our research and development elsewhere. Working for peaceful solutions to potential conflicts. I'm an associate member and past president of Veterans for Peace, which advocates for diplomacy over knee-jerk violence. Member of Jewish Voice for Peace, and we work to convince our elected officials that not all Jewish Americans speak as one block pro-Israeli government, no matter what. I went back a long ways.
The Raging Grannies.
The Raging Grannies. It's women of a certain age that get together and pick common tunes that everybody knows the tune of, and write our own words, and we show up invited or not invited to sing Truth to Power. I go back as far as the counter-inaugural march against Nixon, you know, and demonstrating against the Satsop nuclear plant back when. And helping to close down the smelter. So,
a long time.
And then there's Kwabi, who's amazing.
Sure. Yeah, what will you tell me?
First of all, Doctor, It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you so much for agreeing to meet with us. This is an absolute pleasure. Just to be in the presence of you and Marilyn, just the work that you guys are both doing is just amazing. I received the Tacoma Peace Prize because of my humanitarian work I've done over the last 4-odd years. I basically use my platform in order to do 2 things. One thing is to put peace into action, right? We talk about peace. A lot of people talk about peace more maybe sort of the inner side. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, how can we exude what's inside of us and push that out into the world by helping others? And to think that everyday people, anyone, can use whatever in their heart in order to create a more peaceful world. So I want peace to be mainstream, right? If we're talking about turning the tides and the reality in which we live, the only way I believe on a massive scale to do that is to encourage everyday people to get involved in the peace movement. Mm. I also, doing the various humanitarian efforts, I have this baby blue bus, and I call it the Peace Bus. Mm. And I use it to deliver, I've done breakfast cereal. During the beginning stages of COVID, there was a lot of families in the area in Tacoma that were hurting because of food insecurity. So I delivered breakfast cereal to them, or I was even Santa Claus for the city of Tacoma, so I delivered gifts, and I recently, last year, drove my bus from Washington State all the way across the country to Washington, D.C., delivering books to the youth, and also raising awareness of what peace means and creating a dialogue for the subject. So that's basically my deal in a nutshell.
Excellent, yes.
Yeah, if you sit down at a table next to him at a coffee shop, he will turn and say, "What does peace mean to you?"
Yeah. Have you been down to the Peace Center?
We'll go on Monday.
On Monday, yeah. Because they have a very interesting dialogue project going on.
Oh, good.
Which I think resembles some of the ideas you are.
Phenomenal, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of interesting and exciting things going on. They have started a cooperation with Minecraft, which has launched 2 games based on the work of chosen Peace Prize laureates.
Wow.
Demonstrating how important it is that individual citizens take responsibility. So responsible citizens is a slogan, and also I think the other game is focusing on the importance of dialogue and how you may use dialogue to solve conflicts.
Right, it's an art form.
Yeah. So perhaps you will find some further inspiration down there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So does it take you a whole year to determine who the Nobel Prize laureate are going to be?
Almost.
Yes.
The deadline for handing in nominations is January 31st. And immediately after that, we put together the long list of all the nominations, and the committee take a look at it and break it down to a short list, which is not always very short, but it's shorter than the 370-plus laureates, nominees.
This year, 370?
340-something, And the short list will usually be somewhere between 10 and 30 names. And then we start working on that list and have experts writing reports on them.
There's a lot of biography to go through.
Yeah, yeah.
340-something people.
Yeah. So, but I mean, we concentrate on...
Included in that 340 is Donald Trump.
Yeah. So sometimes it's easier to
put
someone aside.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it takes months of discussions and new reports being made by national or international experts. And then eventually one day in September, the committee usually will be able to make a consensus decision. Yeah.
And I understand that the committee is basically appointed by the
parliament? That's right.
Okay.
That was decided by Alfred Nobel.
So I think the listeners want to understand that process. So this is great to be able to talk about it.
So Alfred Nobel decided in his testament, his will, that the members of the Nobel Peace Prize Committee shall be decided by the Norwegian Parliament. He didn't say why. He didn't say why Norway. The other committees are in Sweden.
Right.
So, yeah, various speculations and theories why he chose Norway for the Peace Prize, but we don't know.
Why do you think?
I think there were several reasons, probably. First of all, Norway and Sweden were part of a union at the time. We had the same king. So he may have felt that both countries in this union should have its part. And then why the Peace Prize to Norway? I think he believed Norway was a more peaceful country. We had a more democratic parliament. We didn't have nobility. We had got rid of nobility at that time. And the Norwegian parliament was the first parliament in the world to pay its members to travel to the continent and take part in the Inter-Parliamentarian Union, which was an active part of the peace movement at the time.
Okay.
So, probably the two main reasons.
This afternoon, we went to the Thor Heyerdahl.
Museum.
And I was looking at all the people that were involved in that, and then we went to the Fron Museum, and I was impressed by how many Norwegians became explorers, and of those same explorers, how many of them worked for international peace. Hmm. And Tom was explaining to me that Norway in particular, because of its coastline and because of its seafaring history, naturally produced explorers. And then I was thinking this afternoon, when you visit other countries and other cultures, it opens your mind. Mm. And you're more inclined toward listening and toward peaceful negotiations.
And so that's true.
Why not Norway for the Peace Prize?
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
And I think also the fact that we are a very small country has taught us the importance of dialogue, because we cannot trust that we will win a fight as a small country.
Right.
So it's better to solve differences in peaceful ways.
Well, and not being an empire.
Yeah. We tried to build an empire in the Viking Age.
You got over that.
We got over that. Exactly. Well, would you like to see some of the rooms?
I would love
to. Let's do it.
Thank you.
I will concentrate on this floor. On the top floor, we have a more modern part of the building where we have research offices. Below is offices and other eminent library. Yeah. Here are the rooms that.